the Christian life, it's central to what we do. Everything that we do, every trial that we face, every storm that comes into our lives, the struggles of walking this in this world, it's a struggle. The Lord asks us to trust. And so tonight I'm going to start beginning in verse 1, and I want to read a few verses here to you. And I want you to just, as we go through this entire evening tonight, leading up to communion tonight, I want you to keep that word in your mind. Keep it in your fore. So in Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, the word of the Lord says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come unto Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied," that's the official King James, by the way, "and a colt with her, loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught to you, unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, and a foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass, and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set him thereon." Here we find two disciples. Jesus is given a very important task of securing a donkey that he will use to enter Jerusalem as he begins what now we refer to as the Passion Week. They'll play an important role in the fulfillment of Scripture as it relates to Jesus. As he calls them and gives them their task, they put their trust in him, that he knew what he was talking about. Can you just imagine how that conversation between the disciples must have gone? The excitement they must have had to be given such an important task.
Okay, it's really very simple. It's a no-brainer. We simply go into town, we find the colt with her baby, and we untie them.
I just don't understand why Jesus wants us to commit a crime. He wants us to steal a donkey.
No. Not steal, borrow.
We're supposed to just casually throw and tie the donkey and...
Say exactly what the Lord said to tell us, told him to say.
But the Lord has need of it, and we'll...
Yeah. It's pretty simple, don't you see? And we'll return it shortly.
What does that even mean, though? The Lord has need of it.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Why are you being so...
So me? You guys know we're all of a bunch. Why didn't they send someone like Peter?
You know, I'm beginning to wonder the same thing right now.
This is right up Peter's alley. Steal a donkey. Commit an uprising. You know, Peter's the reason why they chained him to the bank. I don't want to go to jail. You know how I feel about one slice of old paper?
Would you lower your voice, okay? Jesus said we'll return it. What could go wrong here?
What could go wrong? A cracked rib. A busted lip. The kind of name calling we... That sends you to therapy down the road.
Stop it. Do me a favor, okay? Stop whining. Stop complaining. Stop. Just stop freaking out.
I mean, I'm not judging, but there seems to be a log in your eye.
Shh. You seem to have trust issues. I mean, serious trust issues.
Do you know how many germs are in a jail cell?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of germs in a jail cell. I don't know why Jesus wants us to go get a donkey. I don't know why there are people up and down the streets. I don't know why they're getting palm leaves and lining the streets. I just feel like there's something really important about to happen here.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean I have trust issues?
Yeah, okay. Let's make it all about you, all right? Now think about it for a minute, okay? Since we've been with him, we have seen him heal the sick. We have seen him heal people of leprosy. We have seen him raise people from the dead. From the dead! I can't even raise you from a nap. Don't you think you can work out this whole thing about the trust situation with the donkey?
No, you're right. I mean, I see how Jesus trusts the Father. He trusted even more than I trust the ground I'm standing on. It's, to have that kind of faith, it's incredible.
Yeah, But if you're going to trust someone, it's Him, right?
You know what? You're right. Let's do this. You go first.
All right. Here we go. I'm proud of you. But baby steps. Just baby steps.
Wait. When we get there and get said donkey, can we leave a Benjamin?
No.
A 20 spot?
No.
A thank you card?
No. Stop it.
Okay, I'll trust.
Can you just imagine the disciples' excitement when they didn't go to jail? That's always a good night, by the way. We didn't go to jail. Here we find the disciples given an important task, a task that would lead into this week that Jesus would endure His suffering. We find in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 7, after they had brought the ass and the colt, and they put their clothes on him. Beginning of verse 8, it says that there was a great multitude that spread their garments on the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. What a Gaelic time. What a wonderful time. You know, and the disciples had an opportunity to be part of that, to see all of the city receive Him, to see the people cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, to acclaim Jesus as He came into Jerusalem. And how important they must have felt. What a spiritual high. Have you ever had one of those? A spiritual high where things are going great. And you're just like on top of the world. And you know what? This thing with God is great. And it just couldn't be wrong. And but why did I ever doubt or anything? And everything's going great. Only to be followed by that spiritual low. Fast forward just a few short days and we find a very different scene in the life of Jesus. Jesus has been taken by the religious leaders of Israel. He's been tried before them. He's been brought before Pilate for trial, and the very people who only a few days before cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, have since cried, Crucify, crucify, crucify him. Those very same people, how fickle the crowd can be. Now we see Jesus hanging on a cross, beaten, bloodied, and forsaken by most who'd followed him, bearing the weight of the sin of mankind in his body. Our faithful disciples had no idea that a week ago, which began so wonderfully, could end so tragically. These two disciples, only a few days earlier, had trusted their own lives into the hands of Jesus when He instructed them to go get this donkey, this colt, from someone they did not even know and bring it to Him. Now hear the Lord cry out one final time from the cross. And these words are recorded in Luke chapter 23. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Tonight we look at those words as we continue our series on the last words of Christ. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. When Jesus said those last words and breathed his final breath, all of hell rejoiced, thinking they'd won by killing the Son of God on the cross. The disciples who a week earlier had trusted Him, had gone and gotten this donkey, who had gone through this week, who'd shared a Passover meal with Him, are now nowhere to be found, thinking that everything they'd committed their lives to was destroyed. As they hear their rabbi, the Jesus they'd walked with, cry out from the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he gave up the ghost. But during this time, Jesus was trusting all of what he had come from heaven and earth to live and die for into the hands of his heavenly Father. Jesus was trusting that his life, his death, and ultimately the resurrection that his Father had promised him would pay the debt of sin and make a way for you and me. Interestingly enough, as Jesus died on the cross, fully man, all he had to rely on was the promise of God. Jesus laid aside his attributes. He could not see the future. He restricted himself in his humanity. But he had the Holy Spirit living within him who revealed to him that, yes, you will be resurrected. It's kind of a hard thing to kind of think about, that a God who knows everything restricts himself to know nothing except what's in the moment, just like you or I, relying only on the Father and the Holy Spirit to reveal the will. And God told him that he would be raised from the dead, and he shared this with his disciples, and he trusted this into the hands of his Father as he said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And gave up the ghost. What an ultimate act of trust. And as he gave up that ghost, Jesus reconciled you, and he reconciled me, and he restored the most important relationship that of all that had been lost in the Garden of Eden, the relationship between God and his creation. And his body hung on a tree. Tonight, as we approach the table of communion, God is still calling us, his people, into a trusting relationship with him. He's calling you and he's calling me to come to the communion table, to trust in his promises, to remember that God fulfilled his promises in the life of Jesus, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We are coming tonight to not only trust him for his salvation, but for everything that we are. God is calling us to trust him for salvation, but what is God calling you tonight to trust him for? What's going on in your life? What are you dealing with tonight that as you come to the table of communion to be reminded of God's faithfulness in raising Jesus from the dead, as we observe communion, as we observe the body that was broken, as we observe the blood that was shed? What is it that God is asking you to give him tonight, to trust him for as we approach the table? God is asking us to die to ourselves and to seek his will above all else. Jesus himself would say in Matthew that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that we desire, all the things that we need will be added to us. To surrender our lives to the will of the Father and not be as children tossed about by every circumstance in our lives that we feel is unfair, is just too much for us to bear. I've heard it said that God never gives us more than we can bear, and that's true to an extent, because God never gives us more than we can bear with him. But he will give you more than you can bear on your own. And I don't care who you are, it's me or pastor or anyone here, God will always give us more than we can bear by ourselves to bring us to him. And as we come to the table of communion tonight, even our Lord Jesus had more than he could bear on his own, and he had to rely on the Father on the cross. And he demonstrated that reliance through his final words when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He was trusting him that the Father would be just, the Father would be fair, and would declare not only him not guilty, but all of us not guilty. That the debt would be paid. As we come to the communion table tonight, I encourage each of you to consider, how have you committed your life to Jesus? Have you committed your life as fully as he has? Have you trusted yourself into his hands the way he trusted himself into his Father's hands? Does his light shine through you in your darkest hour? Does his light shine through you to break the bands of captivity and those around you and in your own circumstances, no matter how impossible what you face seems to be? As people see you, do they see you as someone that they can be drawn to, that no matter what they face, they can find encouragement, and they can find refuge, and they can find someone who trusts in the Lord with all that they are? Just as Jesus did when he committed his spirit into the hands of the Father. Tonight, that's so very important. I'm going to keep giving you this word, trust. Trust and trust. The book of Proverbs, one of my go-to verses in my own life, and as I work and counsel with people, it says in verses 5, it says in 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make straight your paths." Just as Jesus on the cross trusted in the Father and committed everything that he was, his life, into his hands, trusting that the Father would make a way as he had promised, Tonight, as we come to the communion table, I don't know what you're here and you're facing tonight, or what your day's been like, if it's been as hectic and crazy as mine, or maybe you have as much stuff going on in your life as I do. That it for me tonight, it's just to stop and take a moment and say, Lord, into your hands. I commit my life. I commit my way. There's things in my life right now going on I don't always entirely understand. I'll be honest with you. There's maybe things going on in your life that you don't truly understand, but I know I can trust. But as we come here tonight, and for me, the communion is a very sacred time. I cannot help but say, if you're here tonight and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, if you've never truly accepted Jesus into your life and you've been born again, that's where it starts. For all of us, as we approach the communion table, is a recognition of His death, His burial, His resurrection, and that He rose again. See, the greatest story ever told is the story of trust. Trust that I place in a man who was born of a virgin, a man who lived a sinless life, that same man who was condemned to die on a Roman cross and dying a sinner's death, that same man who took upon himself the sin of the world to pay a debt he did not owe, so that you and I could receive a reward we do not deserve. And that on the third day He rose again, so we would know for certain that the debt was paid in full. That I can trust in those promises. Not only that we can trust in that, but Jesus said these words, and I want to give these to you tonight, because as I observe communion, I'm always reminded of something that's very important to me. In John 14, in verse 3, it says, Jesus would say to His disciples, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." See, as we celebrate the Lord's death tonight, and we're reminded of the body that was broken that paid the debt of sin. As we take this communion tonight, we can say with confidence, "Into Thy hands, Lord Jesus, we commit our spirits." Trusting fully in Your promise that says that You will return in someday in the future to receive us unto Yourself. As it says in the book of Thessalonians, that the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout and with the trump of God, and that the dead in Christ shall rise in Him, and then we who are remained shall be caught up in the air to meet Him. As we approach the communion table tonight, let us be reminded of the promise not only of the salvation, but also the promise of eternal life that it secures for us as a people. But as we approach the communion table tonight, we want to take a moment tonight, and we want to be reminded. Pastor's put together a special for us tonight to be reminded of what this Jesus suffered so that you and I could have a way.